Tomorrow, the Senate Judiciary Committee begins confirmation hearings for John Ashcroft, the man named by George W. Bush to be Attorney General. If confirmed, he will replace Janet Reno, the longest-serving Attorney General in 150 years, the first woman to have had the job. Reno's tenure in Washington has been marked by controversies, from Waco to Elian Gonzalez. What she accomplished or didn't is a matter of some controversy, too. NPR's Nina Totenberg has a report.
Janet Reno has probably spent more time on Capitol Hill defending herself than any other cabinet member. The criticism has often been furious and bitter. Dan Burton, the chairman of a key House Oversight Committee, was perhaps her most vociferous critic.
Do I trust Janet Reno? We have been investigating the campaign finance scandal now for almost 3 years. She has blocked us every step of the way. This is the most politicized Justice Department in the history of the United States.
There has been plenty to criticize about Reno's reign, or at least to argue with. Reno's decision at Waco resulted in the deaths of 81 people, including 25 children. Her decision to appoint a series of independent counsels to investigate four fellow cabinet members and President Clinton himself infuriated the White House. Her refusal to appoint an independent counsel to investigate Democratic campaign contributions infuriated Republicans. Her handling of the Wenho Lee spy case incurred the wrath of both Democrats and Republicans, as did at one time her handling of the Elian Gonzalez case. And the things that most agree she's done well, such as the handling of the investigation into the Oklahoma City bombing, she gets little credit for. For anyone who's gone out on the road with Janet Reno, there's a dissonance. In Washington, she's been routinely pilloried for everything from malevolence and cover-up to incompetence. But in the hinterlands, before police groups or parents, prosecutors or preteens, she's treated as a sort of legal rock star, a heroine. As former Los Angeles Times reporter Ron Ostro, who covered the Justice Department for 32 years, puts it, Janet Reno is the air sucker of this administration.
Still today, when she walks into a room or walks through a crowd of American people, there's that sound you hear. Oh, there's Janet Reno. People took her for a no-nonsense person, which I think is correct.
And Ostro, who's covered 13 attorneys general, sees her as one of the best.
I think she, in my mind, was one of the most effective because the distance she remained from the White House. And I think that's a key measure of an attorney general.
The key to Reno, says former Solicitor General Walter Dellinger, is something beyond the ken of Washington.
I think the Washington establishment never understood Janet Reno's greatest strength, which was that she didn't give a damn what they thought. She was simply never motivated by the two factors that seem to drive life in Washington, which is fear of criticism on the one hand and desire for further promotion on the other hand.
Reno's the buck stops here willingness to take the heat first demonstrated itself within weeks of her arrival in Washington. The disastrous FBI raid at Waco still remains the single thing she most regrets.
We'll never know whether it was a mistake or not in one sense, but knowing now what I do, I would not do it again. I would try to figure another way.
Twice cleared of wrongdoing by independent reviews, Reno continues to defend the FBI. The Bureau, she says, did not mislead her in any way. The unknowable factor was David Koresh.
The terrible thing was that not only had he killed agents, but he had talked about Armageddon. And we simply had to weigh the issues of when we would be best prepared to deal with whatever he might do. And we made the best judgment we could. And the Bureau, I think, was very straightforward and very, very forthcoming in the information it furnished me.
Not all of Reno's aides agree on that assessment, but it is one of the ironies of her tenure that even though almost every controversy of her term has involved either the FBI's conduct itself, as in Waco or Ruby Ridge or the Wenho Lee investigation, or leaks from the FBI to Capitol Hill criticizing Reno, she has never publicly, and some of her aides say privately, really confronted the Bureau. One criticism heard over and over again inside the Justice Department from career lawyers is that Reno, who is supposed to oversee the FBI, has not held it accountable for its errors. When I pressed her on this, she pointed a finger at me.
You're very good at trying to pick fights, but I'm not going to let you pick a fight because I prefer to do it my way.
Waco, some of her aides believe, prepared her for the Elian Gonzalez controversy, former Solicitor General Walter Dellinger.
I think Waco didn't make her hesitant. It made her insistent upon getting her own information. It may have led her to go personally down to Miami to see if she could avoid a forceful retaking of Elian Gonzalez. But at the end of the day, she knew what had to be done, and she did it. And in some sense, I think Waco toughened her up for that.
On the question of independent counsels, it was her refusal to ask for a special prosecutor to investigate Democratic campaign contributions that spurred a public disagreement with some of her very own subordinates. On Capitol Hill, there was bitter criticism, even calls for her impeachment, from Republicans. She had early in her tenure testified about the value of the independent counsel law as a mechanism to foster public confidence in some prosecutorial decisions. So why in the end did she decide to take the heat herself?
I didn't decide to take the heat. I decided to construe the law the way I thought it should be construed.
Even though it meant that inevitably people would question that decision as somehow politically motivated.
One of the things that you discover is you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
On the subject of Whitewater Independent Counsel Kenneth Starr's request that she broaden his inquiry to include the Monica Lewinsky investigation, Reno at first says she was not misled.
When you found out that there was more known at the time than they had disclosed to you, and when you found out that Mr. Starr had at least given some initially before being independent counsel, some advice to the Jones lawyers. You didn't feel ill-served?
I won't comment.
And here is where radio fails us. For at this moment, Janet Reno gives me what her staff refers to as the praying mantis stare, eyes slightly bulging, mouth set. Some amazing things have happened at the Justice Department under Reno's reign, many of them relatively unnoticed. During her tenure, the Justice Department budget has more than doubled from $10 to $21 billion. And the arm that disperses grant money to pay for more police, establish drug courts, and community policing and crime prevention programs, that has grown sixfold from $800 million to $5 billion. Her avid promotion of these programs, her passionate advocacy of drug treatment programs instead of prison for many offenders, and early intervention to help children, that leads to one of the criticisms of her tenure, that she is more of a social worker than a cop.
My mother once gave a speech that said social workers are a little lower than the angels, and a great social worker is just that. I could never be in that league.
More serious are criticisms from within her own department, from career lawyers who see her as meddling, trying to micromanage, and sometimes being indecisive. Most serious of all, she was the first attorney general who failed to hold the line and protect career attorneys from being forced to go up to Capitol Hill to face interrogation. That's a fact she deeply regrets.
I think the costs are considerable. Anytime a line lawyer is called before Congress, though, it has a chilling effect.
Although Reno says that Congress simply insisted, the fact is that every attorney general except her was able to say no to Congress and make it stick. The buffeting that a modern attorney general is subject to was illustrated perhaps best of all in the Wenho Lee investigation. First, Reno was called to Capitol Hill, where senators, with information from leaked FBI memos in hand, excoriated her for not agreeing to have Lee wiretapped. Within months, she was being lambasted by some of the same senators for abusive investigative tactics used by the department, not to mention a severe opinion from the trial judge in charge of the case, who accused the department of misleading him. So I asked her, in retrospect, was she right to refuse to authorize the wiretap? Yes, she said. Was she right to sign the subsequent 59-count indictment? Again, the answer was yes. And then was the eventual plea bargain, guilty to one count with no further jail time, was that right? Again, the answer was yes. And there you have it, the enigmatic Janet Reno, who first resisted and now defends the conduct of a case gone awry. She is just as enigmatic about President Clinton. In a recent interview on 60 Minutes, the president went out of his way to praise friends and foes alike. But when it came to his evaluation of Reno, he was tepid, to say the least.
Good woman. Tried really hard to do a good job. She's a good person.
At least he didn't say I was a bad person.
This was the faintest of faint praise.
I'll take whatever I can get.
Did you ever think of quitting?
I don't quit.
But she was the last of the cabinet members to be renamed in 1996, and the White House made no secret of its desire that she leave. Former Solicitor General Dellinger.
It was actually wonderful. She just decided to stay, and it turns out that nobody could fire her.
Janet Reno has outlasted all her critics and a debilitating disease. 5 years ago, she was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and on occasion shakes so hard that you can hear her hand knocking against the table at a congressional hearing. Asked about it, she says simply, "You get used to it." And she's got quite a sense of humor about it, as she did when she played a steel drum for me given to her by the Attorney General of Trinidad.
Gee, you could shake on this and you'd be fine.
So many things I can do. I can juggle, I can balance my kayak. Shaking sometimes helps.
Now she returns to the home her mother built in Miami. She hasn't driven a car in 8 years and has been practicing in her driveway with the used red truck she's bought to travel the country in. Miami, though, is where she plans to nest, and she faces a community, some of whom are very angry at her over the Elian Gonzalez case. Some prominent Miamians have said she will not be welcome. But Janet Reno has never been one to hide. She's told friends she will walk the barrios in a long purple dress with a wide-brimmed black hat, and if they call her a crazy lady, well, that's okay with her. She says that with a smile that disappears when she thinks more about returning to her lifelong home city, a city where she served for more than a decade as state's attorney.
There are people that say I can't go back, but the Cuban community is a very kind and gentle community. And I think once I'm back there and have a chance to talk with them, go to the municipios if they will have me, talk about how important it is to cherish freedom and to cherish the ability of people to speak out. Porque en la Cuba de Castro no permite hablar con libertad.
Attorney General Janet Reno. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.